All right. Oh my. Secretary Clinton. Secretary Clinton has come into the room. Hold on. I'm going to give my mic to Secretary Clinton. Secretary Clinton, what do you have to say after Tuesday's events? I may not be David Carradine, but I fucking choke. I may not be Johnny Knoxville, but I ate shit on live TV. I said, I may not be Dale Earnhardt, but I smashed into the fucking wall because I couldn't turn left.
It's us, guys. We're back. Hello, darkness, my old friends. We've come to talk to you again. You know what it is. Chapo Trap House, joined by Virgil Texas.
Hi, everyone.
And we're here to talk about the life and career of Leonard Cohen, one of the greatest songwriters of our time. And now he's gone, and we all feel bad about it.
But when I was a kid, he taught me it was okay to be weird.
Leonard Cohen taught me that, like, if you see somebody, you should put on a safety pin on your lapel. And he taught me it's okay to have an open marriage.
No, this is the first time that we are talking to each other or even looking at ourselves since Tuesday night's election live show.
We're not looking at each other. If you remember the New Yorker profile of the Digcast, that's with no eye contact, strictly.
No, we're in the same room. And I think, you know, before we go any further, I for my own, you know, psychic balm, just to exercise these ghosts, I just need to say right off the bat, we were wrong. We blew it. As if you were at the live show or listened to the audio of the live show, you know, you saw a show and party. It was great. But it turned out more like the New Year's Eve scene in Boogie Nights. And we're all now in 1980, you know? And more than anything, I just got to say, Bill Mitchell is now all of our dads. We're recording this
his
house.
I needed one. I needed a new dad.
He gives us an allowance now. Bill Mitchell was right. We were wrong. We had to change the ending of the show because, honestly, none of us could conceive of Trump actually winning the election. Donald Trump and his advisors couldn't even conceive of him winning the election.
The intelligence community couldn't conceive of it. The markets couldn't conceive of it. Bookies couldn't conceive of it. We were all under the same incantation.
And we probably should have seen the writing on the wall in a few spaces. I mean, I remember before we put together our map, I saw this thing in Florida from Elsie Hastings, a U.S. rep, who said the Clinton campaign hadn't even tried to reach out to the black community. He was saying this before voting day, like 3 days before voting day. And I was like, wow, this is a really bad sign. But of course, like, all the liberal media people were like, we registered 80 million new voters in Florida.
Yeah.
And it was like they were Bill Mitchell. They were the ridiculous.
Looking at it analytically, we saw, you know, there was like 90% black turnout in North Carolina in terms of early voting. And the assumption that we made was like, oh, she can kind of sweat that. We know it's not really going to be 2012 numbers, and Latinos kind of pick up the pace there. What we didn't really realize was exactly how bad her ground game was. And we kind of presumed that we would have heard in the last couple weeks some kind of subjective warning sign. It would have been like anonymous, like door walker in Wisconsin's like, this is going to shit. And what it turned out was her ground game was localized in just these big cities where people were not that enthusiastic about her. How many campaign offices in Pennsylvania? I don't even want to think about how many, but all of them in Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, none in these rural areas at all.
you know, and if you listen back to the shows throughout this entire election, like, this is something that I personally have waffled back and forth on, whether I thought Trump could really be president. But in the end, at the end of the day, my rational mind, like, in collaboration with, you know, the same fucking stupid media and the polls and all the right sources and sensible people,
yeah,
conspired with my rational mind to be like, you know what, like, at the end of the day, like, I couldn't conceive of President Trump as anything other than a joke until it wasn't a joke. And we were, like, right on stage when it happened. And I feel like I read from H.P. Lovecraft on stage, and I, like, said the words that, like, opened up the membrane into the dark universe, and that's where we're living now. We all live in the zone.
This really
now
does feel like one of Nyarlathotep's schemes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's got, and Nyarlathotep has a sense of humor about things.
I was just going to say, I'm proud of all the boys for holding together on stage, even as we ate shit on our plan for the
show.
Had,
I had diarrhea.
Yeah,
and I
yeah
was just feeling so, like, I gotta go.
My bladder was, you know, I had to piss. I'm a, like, frequent pisser, but
I'm a diarrhea boy.
Yeah, he's good. Virgil's a diarrhea boy. I know it from working with him. He will always be a diarrhea boy. That's what I like about him.
I promise you that for these next 4 years, I will still have IBS.
Yeah. Here's the message to you, people. To stand up to President Trump, Virgil will have twice the amount of diarrhea.
The sun will rise in the morning, and I will go into the subway and be really sweaty and worried that it breaks down.
I'm proud of the boys, though, that, like, we held together against our diarrhea, against our entire plan fucking up, and that just shows how powerful being Spectrum is.
Yes.
Because it's like, nothing actually emotionally affects you except for when people are like, oh, I think, you know, diesel and steam are the same thing. And you're like, you fucking piece of shit. I cannot believe what has happened to our country. But
people kept coming up to me after the show and saying, like, hey, you guys did great considering the circumstances. And I'm like, what happened? What happened? We at the bar because I thought things went perfectly fine. We read our lines.
Yeah.
Little insider info on the Chapo election night DVD extras. You will see the alternate universe of our ending where Virgil declared it looks like Hillary's going to win, and Felix's Jack D. Ripper character goes into the bathroom and shoots himself.
I was really going to kill myself, though, if Hillary wins. So, like, you know, hey, silver lining. You know, not because I don't want a woman to be president, but because it's part of the show. Like, you have to be contiguous with the source material, and I had to die.
So, yeah, like I said, we're all living in the zone right now. Bill Mitchell is our dad, and the fact that this illusion was so widely shared does not make the sting any less acute, at least for me.
I mean, we talked on this show so much about how Hillary had no appeal to basically any voter group.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And how her entire campaign was organized around appealing to these, like, rich enclaves of moderate Republican suburbanites.
Shout out Chuck,
like,
Schumer.
Leon Acres, Virginia and shit. And how she was totally ignoring the rest of the country. But for me, I just felt like there was going to be such a thing as a negative mobilization, that people were going to be so disgusted by the idea of this joker being president that they would vote against him. And I think we found out that's not how it works.
No.
People need someone to vote for. They're not going to vote against him.
And, you know, what I've been thinking about is, like I said, this tug of war between, like, the rational brain and, like, the kind of media superego. And, like, this kind of, like, Bill Mitchell, the gut instinct. And the moment I think back to was our first night in Philadelphia covering the DNC, when we were watching that horror show on television, and we were sitting there in Nick's house, and that was the first time, like, where in my gut I thought, holy shit, they're going to lose this election.
Yeah.
And then, like, little by little, I was able to sort of build a levy against that, you know. Like I said, not unreasonably so, considering, but, like, at the same time was a kind of a bulwark against, like, the psychic trauma of considering Trump being president or them losing it. And what made me feel that first night watching the DNC is I was thinking, like, okay, if I'm watching this right now and I'm a voter in any of those states that Hillary lost in the upper Midwest or Pennsylvania or Florida, regardless of, you know, race, gender, et cetera, if my life has been more precarious since 2008, if I'm worried about the future, what am I seeing here tonight? And what you saw was Donald Trump is a mean, rotten person, and Hillary Clinton deserves to be president by, you know, just by virtue of her existence. That's it.
You also saw their fight song.
Yeah.
I remember yesterday it occurred to me that I looked through my tweets and I found that in February I realized that is when I first had an inkling that this was could go wrong, and I tweeted, and it was when she had launched America is Already Great.
Oh, yes.
And joined her to Make America Great Again. And I tweeted, you know, America's already great. And a voter just thinking, I'm going to go with this guy. He might be a screaming orange lunatic, but he acknowledges there's a fucking problem.
Yeah.
And like, I just, yeah, I like everybody, I just convinced myself that polls meant things, that that campaign infrastructures mean things, and that, more importantly than anything, I think, that we all, or at least a critical mass of Americans, had an innate resistance to the idea that we should destroy all barriers between entertainment and politics. Like, that's why I thought that, and I think most people thought that Trump lost the debates, is because he just seemed like a reality TV clown, and she seemed like a real politician. And I think we all assumed that people still wanted a real politician. But I think that's gone. I think we were like basically the last people to realize that for the most people who watch 80 hours of television a week and who process everything through what they see on TV, that barrier is non-existent and probably hasn't existed for years.
No, the barrier is non-existent, and a corollary to, you know, Donald Trump, our game show host president, I've 100% noticed on the other side among liberals now, who all throughout the election and then now dealing with the trauma of facing up to the reality of it, are once again retreating into fantasy and entertainment and pop culture. You know, I mean, like all the Harry Potter shit, you know, like, yeah. It's just like it's the same sort of retreat into kind of nostalgia and away from the grim realities of the world that enabled Donald Trump. And it's 100% true for liberals and Democrats as well.
Yeah, it's like it's not one side. I mean, a lot of people who voted for Trump are like, hey, I saw him on TV. He seemed like a good businessman. He really, you know, he sure told Meatloaf what was what. Yeah. Tell the Ayatollahs. But just as the same thing, you had liberals create these fantasy worlds where, yes, they're fucking Dumbledore or whatever.
I mean, it's like, do you think the people
living in anything that you think, could be you think the real world?
Do you think the adults who like view the world and popular culture exclusively through entertainment designed for children? Do you think they're having a hard time understanding when that a bad guy won?
Yeah, it's something I said to Felix maybe a week before, or actually a few days before the election, when we were doing the predictions, and I said, you know, narratively, yeah, the only thing that makes sense here is him winning. That's the only correct conclusion for the past, you know, 16 months of this campaign. You know, didn't we kind of presume that she would win almost kind of based on another medium for children, Aaron Sorkin West Wing fantasy,
yeah, yeah,
that Americans would all come to their senses and say, we support the principled politician, the one who's who reached out to Henry Kissinger and all of this shit.
But really,
we're better than Trump, America. Yeah.
And we're not.
No, we're not.
No, we're not at
but,
all.
But really, most people, instead of going, look, don't let perfect be the enemy of good. And listen, you son of a bitch, Donald Trump and Mike Pence, if it's illegal to love a man, well, I love a man called the truth. And I suck his fucking dick and he comes in my face, you bastard son of a bitch, ignoramus.
Mike Pence, what else will you electrocute? Will you electrocute the trade deficit?
Yeah. There were so many perfect fuck ups of this thing that mirrored the insanities of Clinton world. You had their obsession with mythical moderates. These people,
deep
state freaks, they love their mythical moderates, whether they are, you know, performing female genital mutilation or locking women in cages in Syria, these moderate rebels, or if they're, you know, country club Republicans that they were vying for, who in the end told them to go fuck themselves because they wanted the real thing. They got fucked in the ass by their fake moderate.
Yeah, no, can we talk about this for a second? Can we talk about that Chuck Schumer line?
Because
it's a stunning example of malpractice. It's insane, and he's going to be the Senate Minority Leader. Matt, what did quote it.
He said, and I this is very close to a direct quote, "For every blue-collar vote we lose in Pennsylvania, we pick up two moderate Republican women in the Philly suburbs." And she got 7% of Republican voters, which means that she absolutely did not get those fucking moderate Republican women. She just lost the blue-collar voters. End of fucking story.
Yeah. Dude, like, Chuck Schumer, like he should be put to death. I'm sorry. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely.
All these people, because that's what we need to be focused on. All these fucking libs are like, oh, the rising tide of fascism. Oh, now I know what it's like to live in 30s Germany. He lost by, it's looking like maybe 2 million votes. He did worse than McCain or Romney. He did not do well in terms of raw vote total.
This is the most important.
He did not win this election. She lost it through bad strategy, bad messaging, being a bad candidate. It was not won by Donald Trump. And that needs to be fucking emphasized because then they get off the fucking hook.
Exactly. He was like, he wasn't swept to power on some like huge outpouring of like white supremacy or, you know, Pepes all coming out to vote. I feel like to paraphrase the great Herm Edwards, the Republican voter is who we thought they were. It's the same people who voted for Romney. It's the same people who voted for McCain. Mm-hmm. Nobody voted for Clinton, or not enough people did. As we said earlier, she thought that she was entitled to that Obama coalition just by virtue of her existence or being a woman or whatever, but offered them nothing. And they didn't come out for her in the same numbers that they did for Obama, that won him all those states twice.
And that's it. That's it. This is the thing.
Like,
there weren't enough of them to win in any election where you give a fucking opposition and you and give Matt, a positive fucking.
And Matt, you've spoken about this too, and I think it's also important. Like, there's a lot of talk now about, oh, do we need to like reach out to Donald Trump supporters or whatever? It's like, no, fuck that. We need to reach out to the people don't vote, who didn't vote.
The people who didn't show up.
Way bigger pool of people.
That's a way bigger pool of people, and it's a way more persuadable group of people.
There were some people who voted for Trump who had voted for Obama twice. And an appeal, guess what? An appeal to the people who were unengaged and didn't show up this time, it'll pick them up by accident. You don't have to direct anything specifically to them.
But I just think, like, we need to be, you know, like, just be on the lookout now for, like, everybody who in their, like, post-election analysis or post-mortem or whatever is trying to play it off like this was inevitable or there was nothing that could have been done or that, like, America is just so irredeemably racist that as soon as they heard that dog whistle, it was just all over. Because, like, I'm sorry, like, that shit is as ignorant as, like, the most, like, baying moron who voted for Trump.
Yeah.
It's absolutely not true.
You're listening,
and these people,
Victor, you fucking giant sack of pudding.
It's not true.
Fucking turd.
It's not true. And, like, the people who are saying it are covering their own ass, and they're basically trying to protect their careers, and they're just basically own psyche from the damage of facing up to what happened.
As was the story in the primaries, and like now it is the full story of the election, this campaign laid naked the total irrelevance of every single member of this media class, of this journalist class, who spent the past several months clapping each other on the back at how smart they were, at making these appeals, like you saw on Saturday Night Live in that intro, that people, the last one before the election, that people fucking said they cried at, Alec Baldwin and what's her name broke character. Kate McKinnon says at the end, you know, I can't tell you who to vote for, but think about the country you want to live in. And it's like, fuck you.
Like anyone who doesn't have an Amazon wish list would heed those words. I mean, it's
because it boils down to aesthetics. Because these people's lives are comfortable no matter what. So it boils down to their aesthetic horror at the idea of Trump being president, which will not get somebody off the couch who's living in a fucking shithole in the Midwest. Who's
all
got
of
like
these
an OxyContin addicted kid or whatever.
All of
because their material conditions are not being appealed to.
Mm-hmm. All of
their
these
fucking sense of these abstract notions that have nothing to do with their lives because they have real fucking problems Unlike every dickhead in fucking Hollywood who's wringing their hands about what this means about America.
Slight Hollywood digression. Another added benefit of the election is that Stephen Baldwin is now the most alpha Baldwin brother. He will be carving the Thanksgiving turkey this year. Alec and Billy are his sons now.
Well, Alec,
just like we are Bill Mitchell's sons.
Does Alec gonna keep playing fucking Trump? This awful, doing this awful. No, he's like, yeah,
give it to Anthony.
Give it to Anthony. Yeah.
You remember all these endorsements for Hillary Clinton, and then like some historic endorsements, and people like, oh my god, Variety endorsed her. Oh my god, the New Yorker endorsed her, and just all of this backclapping. And like all of it was ultimately just terrifically meaningless. And Matt, you know, congruous with what you just said, people voted against a media class, and all of the people covering their asses right now cannot reckon with how much they are loathed.
Yeah,
they're just like Hillary. They thought, we have the right qualifications. We look at things the right way. We experience the world in the right way. Well, you would have to be totally discounted to not value our input. And it turns out, no, people hate you because you are backbiting, calculating, cowardly fucking weirdos who have no idea what the rest of the world is like. And it fucking showed. You know what? If you guys really thought you had any effect on this shit, the way that they aligned against Trump, he should have lost by 30 points.
When
they were as important as they think they are.
When the Podesta emails came out and we saw the alt-right weirdos like making up like weird codes, and like it just seemed like schizophrenia or numerology, and they're like, oh yeah, Podesta's a Satanist child molester. And we thought, like, oh, okay, no sane person would believe this. But now I'm like, okay, yeah, probably.
probably.
Because this is a class of sick, depraved people. The DNC are sick, depraved people.
The ending to this night was just the perfect death to Clintonism. The most cinematic, you know, Steven Seagal killing the senator in Hard to Kill. Was perfectly symbolic thing.
I like to picture her, like, hearing that she lost and watching, you know, Dane County, Wisconsin come in. And just like crying and like wobbling around.
Yeah, and then she vomits and she like falls into a broom closet and gets her head stuck in a bucket. It's the only thing it's good to is to think about Hillary just having constant vaudevillian pratfalls.
Picture her as like a clumsy French waiter.
They should really leave the country.
They should, because the way that they did it, the way that it happened at the fucking Javits Center, where this entitled fucking slob who could not even... She offered minority voters nothing but to define herself by who she was not. She couldn't even face them. She couldn't even face... And those people there, those people that were crying, they weren't even workers. They were donors. This fucking asshole brought all her donors to have a big party about how great they were and how they showed what kind of country they were.
You know,
and she couldn't even fucking face them. And not just that she couldn't face them. She brought out John Podesta,
John
this
fucking
cum-eating freak, to lie to them. To fucking lie to them. While she stood in the fucking back. Because she's never been a fucking leader ever in her life. She is just somebody who has fans who are psychologically weak, tormented, elite freaks.
Here's the thing. The thing that really stands out in my head looking back on this election is something Amber told me on Tuesday night, and we talked about it again the other night. She couldn't even come out for a $15 an hour minimum wage. Her response to that was, how about $12.50? And like, to me, that sums up everything. Like, if you can't look at that square in the eye and realize how badly they fucked up, like, what you're offering people nothing. $12.50 an hour. That was her response.
Nothing. Not even a full-throated defense of our entitlement programs.
Yeah.
Nothing of that.
Like, she could, like, okay, but she sort of came out for like the Bernie's college program. She could even come.
No,
she
had a half-ass.
It was a half-ass thing.
Yeah, no, watered down. Like people are compulsive means testers.
And after
everything has to have a fucking means testing component to it. It has to have a fucking sliding scale and a goddamn T-square that you have to apply to see what fucking trance you land on and what like level of subsidy you get. Nothing can be a universal fucking program, even though that's what people are able to get their fucking heads around and understand and get excited about because they can fucking get it.
They're means testers and they're grand bargainers. And thinking back on it, I thought, you know, all right, she like squeaked by in this thing. and her organization would power her through, and she would just be a shitty president that we would all despise, who would try to cut a deal with fucking Paul Ryan, and the left has to stand up to her and just have just a stupid, dysfunctional government for 4 years.
Yeah.
Now that's not the case, though. And, you know, it goes back to our DNC thing. In August, you know, after the DNC, what did they do? Well, they certainly didn't visit Wisconsin even once. They spent the entire summer reassuring Republican moderates, quote unquote, that they would govern in a way amenable to them. And guess what? They all voted for Trump.
They're all.
Because they're Republicans.
They will stab you.
Because they're not Democrats.
They hate you. They hate you, and they'll stab you in your fucking back every chance they get. If you're a Republican, why are you voting for Hillary Clinton? Unless you're some fucking American Enterprise Institute pussy or David Frum. Yeah. Any of these. You know what? How much time do you think Hillary Clinton spent going around to, you know, like the King Salman Institute for, you know, beheading your wife, or the fucking Kahan Institute for Middle East Freedom, telling people she was going to depose Assad and how, you know, Jerusalem should be the capital, just like Trump says. How much time do you think she spent reassuring the foreign policy ghouls that she was going to enact a regime of pure evil as opposed to Obama's mitigated evil? While spending no time on anything else.
How much time she spent at massive big dollar fundraisers with fucking Jimmy Buffett crumping with fucking Paul McCartney. Yeah.
I'm thinking Chuck Schumer. He's like, for every blue collar white we lose in the Rust Belt, we'll pick up three David Frums in the Virginia suburbs.
Guess what, Schumer, you fucking caricature. How many people do you think there are that make $275,000 a year? It's not a lot, you fucking idiot.
It's very,
holy
like, very Lucille Bluth politics.
Yes.
Hey, and how about this? Remember giving a primetime speaking slot to DNC to fucking Bloomberg? This fucking scolding, diminutive billionaire who's universally hated.
Getting back to the true and proper truth that Bernie would have won, I did see that Michael Tomansky had a thing. He was like, well, you are forgetting that would have triggered the Mike Bloomberg independent run. Fuck that. He still would have won.
Yeah, still would have won.
You know, no, and I got to say,
Bloomberg would have gotten like 5%.
The most important thing.
He would have gotten all these dipshit counties in like Northern Virginia or whatever. But he wouldn't have won he would not have been a difference in like a Rust Belt state. You think he would have been the difference in Michigan or Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Or
hey, you know what? My kid just OD'd. I have to like borrow money to even get the doctor to cut my balls while I cough. But, you know, this diminutive guy who's screeching at me about Dr. Pepper. I'm going to vote for him over the guy who says that I am entitled to basic human services. Yeah, and that's how things work. Fuck you, Tomansky.
I do like the idea, though, of these people who fetishized defeating Trump at all costs and why that made third-party voters the devil, how they would have had to reconcile themselves to vote for Bernie to stop Trump. Or otherwise be like, you know what? No, I'd rather have Trump.
Yeah, no,
and they would have fallen in line because they're all cowards. But all of them.
Here's the thing now. Saying that Bernie would have won is not like a gotcha. It's like not to be smug. It's like actually the most salient question going forward if you oppose Trump. And like, you know, you can always say like,
there has to be a way forward. And hey, can't be Clintonism. We have to know, and we know what would have worked. What states did he win in the fucking primary?
All of the ones that she lost that were her firewall, that were like her safety net to like, if she lost Florida and North Carolina.
Trump won Michigan by 20,000 votes or so. I just found out that 90,000 people cast ballots in Michigan, voted for all of the down ballot races, and left the president's blank.
Jesus.
They fucking hate her.
That would have happened with Bernie. Fuck you.
You know, well, here's the thing, though. Like, if you're talking about who these people are, who really controls the Democratic Party, I think that they would, they made all these choices and they would make the same ones again because they'd rather lose than go in the direction of even mild social democracy.
Oh, absolutely.
Here's the real reality, though.
That wouldn't be possible if Bernie took it over. End of story. They would the Iron Law of Institutions, it's called. I think Jonathan Schwartz coined that term. People would prefer to maintain a position within an institution that is a loser and that is out of power than to see that institution succeed in a way that loses them personally.
Absolutely.
Power.
And here and like and here and here and here's the grim meat hook reality, to paraphrase the good doctor. We're now living in a decaying political system and empire controlled top to bottom by the hard, hard right. And I'm sorry, the Democratic Party cannot, and more importantly, will not protect you from what's coming. Like, if you voted for them, or you're one of the people who feels afraid or unstable right now with good cause, I don't know what to tell you, because like I don't know who's there for you or to resist what's coming, but it's not the Democratic Party.
Republicans are one state legislature away from being able to rewrite the Constitution. They're one state legislature away from having the 3/5 majority that could pass any constitutional.
And here's the thing: come January, we're really going to see how, like, you know, remember when Obama was elected in 2008, probably with like the biggest actual mandate of any politician in my lifetime, with the House and Senate.
Absolutely.
What did he get done? Nothing. Well, we're about to see how much can get done in the American political system quickly.
With a smaller Senate.
Yeah,
negative 2 million votes.
It's pedal to the metal. And like, I mean, you're not going to believe what, like, the shit that they're going to get done.
There's going to be some really fucked up shit.
As John Mitchell said in 1972, this country's going so far right, you're not going to be able to recognize
it. Labor is about to get fucked. So many people are about to get fucked. Waleed Faris, who's an actual war criminal from Lebanese forces, one of the speech writers and policy setters and trainers for the group of people that committed the massacres at Sabra and Shatila, he's basically writing the whole foreign policy thing. This psycho.
When Republicans get in power, they have this uncanny ability to actually pass policies that keep them in power, such as disenfranchisement, reducing early voting hours, you know, voter ID and things like that. When the Democrats had unitary government for 2 years and a filibuster-proof majority in the U.S. Senate, they couldn't pass card check?
They didn't even try. Yeah.
They didn't give a shit.
And now all of the things that were like Obama's actual achievements, like his terrible health care plan, the totally weak Dodd-Frank bill, all that shit's going away immediately.
And their policies and like the like anything coming from a Democratic, you know, government leadership at the top that is going to protect people, such as a strong civil rights division in the Justice Department, is predicated on the notion that we'll just continue to be presidents. And this
right,
won't stop
right, right.
because Republicans are so dumb.
Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who lost all these state legislatures that portended just the raft of horrors that would fall upon the people that she doesn't give a shit about, and her type of person does not give a shit about. No one even thought to fire her. After all that, no one even thought that. The thing that got her fired was, in the end, that somebody leaked an email of her looking for Hamilton tickets.
And they replaced her with someone who is even more culpable in the corruption that was happened and the behind the scenes rigging for Hillary that happened during the primaries, who literally leaked fucking debate questions to Hillary.
This is Donna Brazile, right? This is why saying Bernie is right isn't gloating and it's not scoring points. It's the central fact. It's the central reality that you have to face. All of these people in the Democratic Party need to be purged immediately. And here's the thing. I don't even want to get involved in, like, you know, rooting for Keith Ellison to be the DNC chair. I'm sure he's a decent guy. He's probably the person I would choose. But the Democratic Party is the Democratic Party. It doesn't matter. They're not changing. A leopard can't change its stripes, or spots, rather. And we know what they're going to do. They're going to collaborate with this evil, and the next presidential candidate they run is going to be even more to the right than Hillary is. So, like, I don't know. Like, there's no, like, fixing or tweaking, like, the DNC or the Democratic Party, even though, rightly, if they were a serious party...
They're all thinking that Cory Booker is going to save the day.
If they were a serious party, everyone in a position of leadership or authority should either have turned in their resignations on Wednesday or fucking kill themselves.
Nah, fuck that. Yeah, they should have spilled their guts on the pavement.
In any kind of rational system, these people would all be led into a tiled basement room with a fucking drain on the floor.
I can't say I share your pessimism necessarily, because looking back on the primaries this year, I thought there was this ahistorical aberration. It wasn't Trump. It was Hillary Clinton. And that, you know, when you look at currents in history, that they don't presuppose that this wife of a former president who has this party in her thrall would just be plopped into it. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, I got to disagree with Will here. I'm more agree with Virgil. I think there are some signs of hope. I think I've been pleasantly surprised by some of the libs and centrists in my life who have come to me and said, you were fucking right. I was wrong.
Iglesias said it.
Yeah.
Torre said it.
Brianna Wu, one of the dumbest people alive. And
yeah, you have that, but at the same time, you have these shitheads who spent the entire primary arguing about how Bernie Sanders was the candidate of racist dude bros, now saying that he was too much of a POC to get elected.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a great line, by the way.
These people will say anything.
I like how Bernie basically has now morphed from being just another old white man in the establishment to Tevi.
I mean, my darkest gut feeling is that Will is right and the Democrats are irredeemable, which, I mean, as cathartic as that is to say, is also terrifying.
Because there's nothing stopping anything else.
The wings to take up the job of fucking opposing these monsters.
Well, you have...
The only way to see is what happens in the next couple of months. Are these fuckers purged?
Yeah.
Is there a genuine movement?
I think there are some tentative early signs that maybe the tail could...
We can't have tentative early anything, though. This can't be like pussyfooting and half-measure shit, or they're just... They're going to go back to requiring a goddamn deed to vote within 2 years, if that's the case. And then nothing will matter, because you won't even be able to fucking stop it at the ballot box.
Well, I mean, the one sign that's encouraging is you have Keith Ellison, this candidate for the DNC chairmanship, who is endorsed by both Bernie Sanders and Chuck Schumer, indicates to me
how much of a threat is it to those fucking monsters if Chuck fucking Schumer is endorsed? Yeah.
I read it a different way, and that Chuck Schumer has never had any particular values, and now he looks at this and thinks
he loves Wall Street. He wants to suck the dicks of.
I don't think that's a value. I think that's just what he does to stay in power because he is a very cheap politician.
Yeah.
The cheapest guy. And it's not an anti-Semitic thing.
I mean, for me it is, but I can do it. I can do it. Yep.
I don't know.
Chapa Trappas is not anti-Semitic.
If that guy's minority leader, even with Keith Ellison at the DNC, I don't fucking know how much progress that is. If Chuck fucking Schumer...
I don't know. I'm encouraged by the widespread sentiment that Clintonism has failed. Yeah, there are a lot of fucking turds we need to flush out of the bowl. Absolutely. I totally agree. But I'm not quite ready to say it's totally hopeless yet.
Oh, Jesus. And I mean, what encourages me about it is a lot of these people are looking at this rationally and they're saying, well, God, I think we are bereft of ideas, so let's just try this. And if that's the best we can get, I'll take it.
I'm more pessimistic, but I mean, I'm encouraged because, you know, the old cliche, the choice is either socialism or barbarism is now true, and we're going to find out what barbarism looks like.
Can I say a quote from a movie that changed my life?
Go for it.
This is from Dark Batman Rises. It's a Christopher Nolan movie, and it came out in 2008 after the Bush years. It's always darkest before the morning. He said that after the Joker made him solve a Rubik's Cube, that if he didn't do it, it would cut off his girlfriend's head.
Okay.
Also, let me just say really quick. Has anyone thought maybe Donald Trump is kind of like the Joker in these films?
Wow, yeah.
Because of how twisted he is.
And Keith Ellison's Batman.
All right. That's the darkness. Right, and it's fucking bleak, and I'm glad that we're still here and talking to you, and you know, I think because all we got is each other, right? At least that's my optimistic tone.
Yeah,
however, can we talk about the brightness, or at least the funny side, which is Donald Trump's actual cabinet and administration?
Can we talk about how like he met Obama once, and he's like, "I like Obamacare; it's great." Like, he's literally a retarded child, and the last person he talks to
I'm going to put this marker down, knowing full well that I've already been made a fool of predicting anything with any confidence about Donald Trump. Early 2017, he's going to get on TV and go, folks, I've never been a politician. I'm a deal maker. I love deals. I love businesses. It's time for the next deal. Mike Pence is your president now.
Oh, my God.
I seriously, better than 90%.
Well, did you see that shit about how he's like, he wants to be able to go home on the way? He wants to be able to fly to Trump Tower and stay in his house on the weekends. He's a fucking child.
Well, that's a big part of reason why people voted for him over Hillary Clinton, because you, like, any right-minded person looks at Hillary Clinton and it's like, oh, this is just like a shitty boss who's going to
oppress
me.
Yes.
At Donald Trump, who's like this fucking cool boss who's like doesn't give a shit if you like come in hungover on fucking Monday
he's
morning.
He's playing golf every other day.
Yeah, he's like gone
not even
most
in the
of
office.
The time. And
yeah.
It's like, yeah, there's no rules anymore.
Yeah, you're not even sure what you do. Like, your title is like branding executive. But all you do is play solitaire on your computer and like take nips out of the bottle you keep under your desk.
Hillary Clinton is the boss that's like emailing and texting you on the weekend about like, why haven't you answered this
Hillary
email or whatever.
Hillary Clinton actually is Steve Carell from The Office, like when he would put on the Kangol hat, because like that's what she was in 2008 when she went to the church and she went, I ain't in no way tired.
Because we got to read the emails and we got to see like how these sick depraved people operate, and it's like, God, what a terrible place to work.
No,
who wants that? Who wants to be involved?
But seriously though, if you saw those pictures of Trump meeting with Obama in the Oval Office from this week, he looked like a husk.
Yeah.
He did not look like a man who is like, we did it, I'm here, it's the White House, baby, yeah. He looked like a guy who is scared shitless.
That's what really makes me sick and terrified, because if the idea of like dipshit Donald Trump just kind of improvising for 4 years, frankly, it might not be the worst thing. As I've said repeatedly, if a smart, enterprising young Democrat presented him with a single payer proposal and called it Trump care,
But if he's
that disengaged, then it's all just going to be every monstrous scumbag Republican just running in his stead, like George W. Bush. He's just going to check out and tweet. And these monsters are going to run everything.
But he has the perfect out.
The last person, it's always, Trump can just be influenced by talking to one person that he likes. So,
like you said, he just met with Obama.
He's
like,
literally a fucking child. He's an idiot. Yeah. Because Obama was polite to him.
That's what they said about George W. Bush.
Yeah.
And Reagan.
Yeah.
They said, all the stories about those White Houses said the last guy to get in the room with him once.
Yeah.
Can we?
And that's just what's going to be. Again.
Just putting this out there.
And who's going to be in the room with this fucking?
Do we know anyone
who can
like just be friends with Donald Trump? Like, I know Dana Schwartz still gets paid by his fucking sick son-in-law. Yeah. Can she go up to, like through that ladder and just be there? Or Bill Mitchell? We thought Trump would really like get a
brainwash Bill Mitchell, and we're going to convert Trump to Shia Islam. But folks, the occultation of the Mahdi. He's coming back. You're going to be so sick of seeing the hidden Mahdi, you wish he would disappear again.
Folks, this guy, Ali, the best. He's a martyr. He's a martyr, folks. He's the true heir to the prophet. Abu
Bakr is a loser. I saw this thing about, okay, so Michael Flynn, one of the top psychos from Team Trump.
Dude, he wants to extradite Gulen.
He wants to extradite Gulen. And I was just thinking about AKP Trump all day.
Oh, like, that was, yeah.
Folks, Gulen is a traitor. Hungary is Turkey. Folks, Vienna is Turkey. How stupid are we that we gave up the Balkans? How about this? How about I take your biggest sons and I make them janissaries? Does that sound good? Folks.
But look, we have to enjoy now the small pleasures, and for me, the small pleasures in the larger horror is Secretary of Education Ben Carson.
With delight.
Can I do
Secretary of State Newt Gingrich. Yeah, no. Oh, wait, we have soon-to-be Secretary of Education Ben Carson on the line. Ben, what are schools going to look like in Trump's America?
You know, the inside of the school is not supposed to look like a playground. The playground is on the outside. And we talk a lot about the Common Core. But to me, it's like an apple core. but you took out the seeds, so nothing is planting in their minds. And it's like you go to the apple farm, and there are no apples. And you go, what do I pick out of the tree? And you just pick leaves. And that is why I hate being politically correct.
Secretary of State Newt Gingrich. I assume Sarah Palin will have some position of prominence.
Secretary of Energy, that's what I heard.
AG.
Drill every surface of the earth.
Attorney General Rudy Giuliani. It's like these people who are like just has-beens. Like now they got the world swinging from their nuts.
It's straight up the cabinet from a teacot meme from 2010.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And what yours is funny is like if you look at the broader election as like the slobs versus snobs, and the snobs lost, even within the Republican Party, like their snobs lost, and the Trump cabinet is just the Republican Party slobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, you know, like they're all the people, like the weird kind of like East Coast Republicans who are just like, you know, the Chris Christies of the world. Although he's probably now on the outside looking in too.
Oh,
but
poor Chris. What happened? He gambled it all on this and he still fucked it up.
Yeah, because, what happened? Yeah. Why isn't he like getting his ticket punched?
Because he like threw a...
I think it's because they think he still might get indicted.
So what? They can stop that. Really, there's no rules anymore.
They can just pardon him.
Yeah, just pardon him.
Yeah.
I imagine fucking fat doofus Christie as attorney general, and he just starts prosecuting Jets fans.
I still don't understand. Like the rationale behind sidelining Christie is like, oh God, Donald Trump can't have a fucking scandal on his head.
Look, the administration headed by the rapist guy is
petty. Like he didn't bring the nuggets when he his most recent McDonald's order or something. Like, it's like, where's Chris, nuggets? What about the nuggets? I said, I want the Big Mac, but I wanted the nuggets too. 10 pieces.
Chris,
where are they?
Chris,
oh, I'm sorry.
Chris, can you read this? Can you
you're
read
fired.
This? Can you
Chris,
read what it says here
fired.
On the side of this package? It says 10. 10 pieces, Chris. I only see 7 here. What happened, Chris? What happened? What's that on your lips?
Oh, my God. Newt Gingrich, Secretary of State.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Dude, why not?
This guy has spent the past 10 years writing inane fucking alternate history novels. Like, his brain is just stupid.
Imagine this, like, fucking chubby nerd going to Pakistan and meeting with these ISI psychopaths, and he's like, I've said it before, but the females of Pakistan are a delectable beauty.
Picture, if you will, a world where the Soviet Union won in Afghanistan, and therefore the Taliban never took power, and television was different in that era.
Ayatollah Khomeini, I actually wrote an alternative history book where you actually start becoming a gamer.
Okay.
I don't know why I made him sound like that.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, Homeland Security.
I don't think that's going to happen.
It's going to be Sheriff Clark. Arpaio's too old, and he actually might go to jail.
Oh, Sheriff Clark?
It's going to be Sheriff Clark.
Oh, he's another gem.
He's going to wear that fucking cowboy hat the whole time. It's going to be amazing.
Oh, holy
Christ.
Plus,
that's diversity, baby. He's black. Well, who says I'm not diverse? I respect diversity. No one respects diversity.
You know what's funny? You know what's funny though?
I got a black guy in a hat at Homeland Security.
You know what's funny though? Him putting David Clark up to prove he's not racist is like pretty much the same as Hillary like going to be like having Beyonce on stage and being like, black people vote for me. It's like the same shit.
Pusha T didn't get her Virginia.
Yeah. Pusher Tim. Joseph Badass, all the guys. Killer Mike. Well, Killer Michael didn't come around.
No, I think Killer Michael screwed her.
We should lay this at Killer Michael's hands.
I lay the blame squarely at Killer
Michael. Killer Michael screwed us, man.
Also looking back on it, I want to say that I thought that the big inflection point of the campaign, or at least something I just keep thinking for the past several days, is that second debate when Donald Trump, obviously on the back foot because the Access Hollywood video has just come out and his poll numbers are tanking, says, you know, I might put you in prison, Hillary. And the audience there applauded.
Yeah.
But every single lanyard, beltway, dipshit was like, oh my God, this is a banana republic. But this is something that actually gives me hope for this country, is that a super majority of this country agrees with me that Hillary Clinton should be in prison. 60% of this country.
Yeah, if he actually goes through with it and puts her in jail, then I gotta say, I'm going to give him points on that.
So he's worth a shot.
Yeah, I'm voting to his 2020 victory fund. I'm going to donate
money to the North Carolina GOP.
Imagine
that lady walking her dog should have put her under citizen's arrest.
Imagine Hillary Clinton like in Oz. She's like going to the commissary.
Hillary Clinton posting like the prison memes about all the different ways you can make ramen noodles into like an omelet or something.
Yo, dude, that's how she's gonna do it. That she's gonna be like Eugene Debs and run from prison because prison will actually make her cool.
Yeah. And she'll be relatable.
No, because she'll just do a bunch of Orange is the New Black, a show that basically nobody in America has seen except for assholes in New York and D.C. Yeah.
Well, sadly, I don't think Donald Trump will keep his promises, which is a fucking shame. Because he should have his feet held to the fire on that.
Yeah.
But one thing that does kind of give me just not really solace, but just like is amusing to think about is the fact that Hillary Clinton, this woman who spent two years of her life doing the thing she fucking hates the most, campaigning, having to fucking grin and bear it, wake up every fucking morning, hold her asshole clenched shut, and then get in front of people, go on the Ellen show and do the dabs and plaster this fake fucking smile, debase and humiliate herself, do the fucking vines and the Snapchats just for the opportunity. Maybe that, I'll be president and accomplish nothing because I have no intentions.
And then she loses to a guy who was not even really trying and didn't really want to win.
Matt, I keep thinking about what you said when you were at my place and we were ordering sandwiches. And like,
what kind?
Matt got pastrami. I got Nick turkey and I had a gabagool. Matt just like no one had said anything in like 5 minutes and Matt just said this is like if fucking Grimace was president. And it was like the funniest thing I heard that entire day. It was so fucking good.
I mean that's the thing. It's like I thought we still thought that entertainment and politics were different. And you know what? The last 40 fucking years has been a slow and steady destruction of that idea. I'm just late to the party on it. And as much as I'm sure Bernie would have beat Trump, I am 100% metaphysically certain that Oprah Winfrey would have. I mean, can you argue that point?
Dude,
Oprah would have killed
the Democrats. They do in 2020. They'd have a much better shot with fucking Oprah than Cory Booker.
Absolutely.
Or Evan Bayh or any
like,
of these other fucking
dipshits. People are making
fun
of Michael Moore, and of course, because he's Michael Moore, for saying that more celebrities should run. He's right.
He's dead right.
Yeah, he's totally right.
He was
these
dead,
dipshit
dead,
fucking
dead
Democrats
right
still are holding on to this idea that politics is a serious business and it's vaguely unseemly to have to do anything with celebrities other than just have them endorse you. No, they should be running. They have a brand that's separate from the shitty, worthless, fucking asshole Democrat brand, which at this point is just like moral scolding and exporting jobs. Man, Clooney wants to run for Senate? Clooney, run for Senate. Do it. It's celebs. Get the celebs running.
Who was it they wanted to do? They wanted to do Ashley Judd a while ago.
That would have been a good idea, actually.
And she didn't do it. Mistake. She might have won.
And then you got then.
She's not a big enough star anymore, though. They need to be bigger stars.
How about fucking who's the girl on the show Bones?
What's Bones?
Bones
Emily
is like
Deschanel.
Yeah,
that's
Bones
that's
is about
Deschanel
like this
system.
Spectrum chick who's like solves crimes.
But the bone crimes.
Yeah, bone crimes. Yeah,
Emily Deschanel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, oh yeah. Yeah. No, she's Zoe Deschanel's sister.
How about Deschanel sisters? That Deschanel 2020.
Yeah,
no, why not? Why not? No,
because like
it makes sense.
You get all the demographics. You get the millennials with Zoe, and then you get all the old fucking boomers who watch network television for the other.
What if
one.
We just run? It's what if we just run the entire cast of Boston Legal? All of them.
Oh man, CSI Scott Bakula.
Yeah,
CSI New Orleans.
Hell yeah,
CSI New York. Wait, Gary Sinise is a Republican, though.
That's true. That's
so
true.
He's probably
well. He'd be like in the Bloomberg faction.
Yeah.
We could. How about? Trying to think of the best.
You know who it ends up being. It ends up being the people who are just kind of loudmouths, and they're already on Twitter, and they're just like kind of like, they're already these like libs who are like what's his name, the rat tattooey guy.
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, it would be like Patton Oswalt. Like, why not me? Why shouldn't I just do it?
How about... Well, yo,
I don't know why I make that voice for
myself. It's going to be Deborah Messing. She's going to be like, I know how much you guys loved Will and Grace, but I'm entering the White House with your Will and Grace.
So like I said, I want to thank again everyone who came to the live show. It was a surreal experience. I want to thank James Adomian again for
thank
showing
you,
up. That was awesome.
It was awesome.
That was so
and
cool.
He said he wants to do the show more, which is awesome.
Hell yeah.
This stuff is always amazing.
We love James.
And again, thanks to Tim Faust for taking care of all the t-shirts. Patty Moe and Brandy Jensen also helped him out. That was really cool. And again, thanks to Virgil and the boys, because look, it was a great show, but it was very bizarre. And I don't think it would have worked with anyone else being up there.
Will, do you mind if I just say something?
Something that's just been
on my mind for a while. You know, obviously, like this was a very fun conversation that I just had with you guys. And obviously, we couldn't touch on every single issue. And I think we avoided some of the darker things that are enveloping this country right now. And I think it's correct and good that we're channeling our rage at this professional class of people who have lied to us over and over again and let us down over and over again. And most importantly, let down black and brown kids and queer kids and the people who are really going to suffer in this country. And regarding this program and our work as, you know, creative people and writers and so on going forward, I think we are in a new era, and politics is now an endless thing in our lives, and it will transform our art and creativity from top to bottom, our entire culture. And I think one thing that everyone should keep in mind is that fascism seeks to destroy nuance and symbolism and, yes, irony, and it seeks to sap us of our rationality and the art that makes us human and nourishes us. And it is, going forward, is not something that we should abandon. And I as a Chapo listener and collaborator, I deeply admire what you guys do, and I think a lot of people do as well. And I think for the next 4 years, people are really going to need you guys so that they know that they're not alone. So thank you guys.
That's very humbling to hear, but that's the plan, you know?
Yep.
To paraphrase Samuel Beckett, I can't go on, we will go on.
I can't go on, we will go on.
DC, we're going to be there. Fuck you guys.
No, again, thanks to all the Chapo fans, all the listeners, everyone who came out to the show, to my co-hosts and Brendan. We live in the zone now, but we're still going to be funny, and we're obviously the show is still going to be the show. And I hope you'll still be there with us. Everybody, cheers, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Do your Bye. Thing. Everybody, get on the floor. Do your thing. Whatever. Oh.